Welcome to A Better Life with Rachel Roffé. Remember, if you have a choice, choose a better life.
Hello, everyone. Today we're here with Emily Alvé. Emily is studying journalism as her undergraduate degree in Toronto, Canada. When Emily isn't typing on her computer or writing in her journal, she's either traveling, riding her bike by the beach, or trying to convince someone else to brush her hair for her. The rest of the time, as the founder of anxietyfreecommunity.com, she's inviting you to join the conversation about mental health issues and recovery with her. Her first book, Love Before Fear, is coming to a bookstore near you during the fall of 2014. This is actually my first time talking with Emily. I invited her here after I posted on Twitter, asking for experts who had overcome depression or anxiety. Emily posted that she'd overcome anxiety and posted a link to her community, the Anxiety Free Community, and another Twitter user quickly tweeted me and told me that Emily's tips had helped him so much and he hadn't felt this happy or free in a really long time. And so I immediately really wanted to book her on the podcast and knew she'd add so much greatness to this. So Emily, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Me too. So as I was telling you a little bit before, the intention behind A Better Life is just to let people know that if they have a choice, they can choose a better life. So in that spirit, I would love if you could just take a minute to tell us about the life you've designed for yourself and kind of some of the things that you're the most proud of right now in your life.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that my main message to anyone who will ever cross paths with my work is definitely to choose love before fear. I definitely think we have that choice in every single decision we make to choose love or fear. So if you put love before fear, the result would be that your anxiety would dissolve. I would say that I am very proud of myself for choosing love before fear, because if I hadn't done that, I probably wouldn't be here right now. I think I'm really happy that I decided to turn my suffering into epiphany.
So it sounds like you were in a place of suffering at some point, huh?
Yes, definitely.
Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, for sure. So I got diagnosed with anxiety disorder and panic disorder when I was 12 years old at a walking clinic. And during the worst panic attack of my life, like the very, very, very worst, I was like telling my dad, "Dad, I have to call mom. I'm going to die. Like, feel my heart." Like, I was telling the doctor, "Please check again. Like, there's something wrong with me. Like, check my heart. I think I'm dying of a heart attack." And these people, the nurses and the doctors, they were telling me, "You're not dying. Like, you're fine." And I said, "You guys don't understand. I'm dying. Like, my panic attacks would make me feel like I was having a heart attack. I was losing control of my body. I didn't feel like I was in my body. I would always describe the feeling as if I'd be sitting somewhere and my body would walk away from me." And I used to tell this to the doctors and they just used to tell me, "Oh, well, you know, cognitive therapy will help you, maybe some medication, et cetera, et cetera." But I wasn't convinced. I definitely thought that I had a life-threatening, like, mysterious illness, because it made no sense to me that I could be suffering so badly for something they deemed not life-threatening.
How often were those panic attacks happening?
When I first got diagnosed, I was probably having about 2 or 3 panic attacks a day, and probably for 2.5 years. And so it was really intense. 2 to 3 times a day, definitely, I would have a panic attack. And sometimes they would last 5 minutes. Other times they would last up to 40 minutes. It was really intense. It was a very hard time.
Oh my gosh, I can only imagine. Oh my gosh, so you're having 2 or 3 panic attacks a day. And what happened when you were diagnosed? Like, what was going through your mind?
I didn't believe it. I didn't understand. I didn't know what my disorder was. I had never heard about a panic attack. I did research, obviously. And, you know, my symptoms matched what a panic attack is. But I literally was suffering so badly, I couldn't believe that it was simply panic disorder. I was scared I was dying. That was my big thing. I kept repeating, "I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying, help me," you know?
Wow. And so do you know, like, why this came on? Is it something that's like...
Yeah, I think I've always been a very anxious child. Growing up, I had problems sleeping. I was scared people were going to kidnap me in my house. There was always like these tendencies that I had. I was a bit OCD for a while. I would like place things when I would come home from school and like do the entire vacuum for the entire house and stuff like that. I was an odd child. And I guess my parents picked that up as, you know, it's a phase, it'll probably pass. I guess that's also the education that they had. They didn't think I had something more serious. When I was 11, my parents got divorced. and that triggered my panic disorder for sure.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have a little brother.
And was he also dealing with anxiety?
No, he's the complete opposite of me. He's the most chill person you will ever meet. He doesn't get worried about anything. He's actually too chill. So wow. It's very weird that we have different reactions, but it's also difficult for my parents to understand and, you know, for my brother to understand my condition as well, because he doesn't feel what I feel. So he can never understand how and why I'm, you know, so anxious, or why I was having panic attacks, or why I needed more attention. And he never related to that. So that was hard as a family unit for sure.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, if your parents aren't sure what's going on and your brother is not understanding and you're 12 and feeling like you're dying, yes. And wow, that's really, really hard. So you were diagnosed when you were 12. And then when did you start seeing improvement?
I started seeing improvements when I went through this program called Attacking Stress and Anxiety by the Midwest Center in the States, created by Lucinda Bassett. It's a program that you do on your own, but I had tried therapists and I had done medication and I didn't see any improvements because medication made me feel foggy. I didn't feel anything. I didn't like being on them. I thought therapy was helpful sometimes, and then other times I would say, you know, I really want to be anywhere else but here. When I found that program, it taught me how to stop my panic attacks, or stop being afraid of my panic attacks, which kind of, when I stopped being afraid of them, I stopped experiencing them as much, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. How did you start to not be afraid of them? Like, what did you tell yourself?
When I would get a panic attack, I would sit through them instead of wanting to run away or freak out. I would just say, it will pass. I will not die from this. It's only a panic attack. And then I would ask myself, what caused this panic attack? Can I track back to what made me feel like this? And if I can't, then I'm just going to accept the fact that I'm feeling anxious and just let it pass. Because if you pile on the fact that you're anxious over top your panic attack, it's just going to make it worse. You're just feeding fire, right? To a fire.
So if you were having a panic disorder and you could identify why you were having it, what would you do then?
Then I would eliminate what was causing it if I could. If it was a situation or a person or like a stressor of some kind, I would do my best to eliminate it from my life. I don't want to call it like avoiding, because it's not avoiding. It's just respecting your sensitivity and just honoring your well-being.
I mean, that makes sense, because I'm thinking, like, I've had PTSD attacks before, and I know the ones that kind of went through the fastest are when I was just, instead of trying to push it away or like not be in the pain, just be like, okay, whatever you have to teach me, like, just come, let me remember, and then we can move through it. So I totally get what you're saying. It doesn't sound like avoiding at all. It sounds like actually being present with whatever's going on for you.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of people in my life would tell me, you know, you have to face the fear, you have to do the fear. And I don't think that's a great method. And that's not what I teach to people who want to know more about this disorder or how to heal it, because I don't think you should necessarily be facing all your fears, because some of them are there for a reason. They're there to protect you from stuff, or, you know, to tell you should stay away from this person, or you should eat now, or you should go to sleep now. It's, you can learn how to use anxiety as a tool instead of seeing it as your enemy when you really stop being afraid of it.
So what's the distinction to you between like sitting with the panic attack and then like facing the fear?
So say you're afraid, a phobia of mine was sleeping. I get scared of sleeping because of different reasons. I got scared of sleeping because, was I going to get enough sleep? And then, was I going to be able to function? Was I going to get a panic attack? You know, like the anticipation of it. And for a long time, I got told, you need to face your fear, which was sleep without any medication help or without anybody, and just sleep in your room in the dark and then be afraid. You know, just face your fear and be afraid and then move through being afraid. I don't think that's the best way to deal with being afraid, in a sense, or having a panic attack or anticipatory anxiety over something. I think that you should make it easier for yourself and not throw yourself in like the darkness, in a sense. Like, obviously if I'm sleeping, I'm in the darkness, but in any other problem, you should, you know, help yourself and ask for help and say, this is what scares me. Could you help me? Or could we talk about it, instead of facing the fear alone, you know, trying to get over it? You should work through it instead.
So how would you work through the sleeping? Like, if you were having a hard time going to sleep, like, what are the action steps that you would take?
With sleeping, I was on prescription medication for a long time. I was on things like antipsychotics that gave side effects. I took antidepressants to sleep to like get everything like more stabilized in my system and stuff like that. So I tried the whole medication aspect, which helped for a while, but then I got the side effects and then it counterproducted it. So I just kind of decided I was going to try therapy with it. So then I did therapy. And in therapy, I learned a lot of good, valuable tips, but still, I wasn't able to really relate to them in a deep, like, soul level. So then I got introduced to my spirituality and meditation. I do a lot of Kundalini meditation. And now with sleeping, before I go to sleep every night, I do a Kundalini meditation. I go to sleep and I can sleep. I don't need medication. I don't need to really talk myself and be like, okay, this is what you have to do. You have to sleep. It's going to be okay. I just do my meditation and I'm relaxed and I go to sleep. So it's really about finding ways that work for you.
When you do your meditation, after you're done with it, are you thinking about the fact that you sometimes have anxiety about sleeping, or are you just in a completely like different state?
I do still think about my anxiety after I do the meditation, and sometimes I'm scared. I'm like, oh, what if I don't fall asleep tonight and then I have to go to work, or I have to do something in the morning, or I have to be present, and if I don't sleep, I'm going to be foggy and I might get a panic attack. Like, those things do pop into my mind, but I feel when I do my meditation, I trust in my meditation that every time I do my meditation, I feel like a sense of peace. So I trust that sense of peace more than I trust my fear. That sense of peace is love. And I just trust the love more than I do the fear. And then I just think about the love more than I think about the fear. And then it manifests that way I can sleep.
So that, yeah, that brings you back to what you were saying in the beginning, to choose love instead of fear. In the community that you have, do you know off the top of your head, like, coping mechanisms that other people in your community have? So like, meditation works for you. Are there other things that have worked for other people?
A lot of people talk to me about writing. Free writing is a big thing that I see come up. People really find what worries them through writing, and they're able to draw conclusions over their worries in free write, which I think is very effective. I think, you know what, also affirmations. If you're thinking, if you have like a fear dialogue happening in your head, you switch it to a love dialogue. I have one of my community members, he's great and he doesn't mind if I talk about him. He has a bit of social anxiety. He was going to a new college and he was meeting new people and he was scared. He's like, oh my God, these people, are they going to like me, or am I going to fit in? And he was having like a big like fear dialogue and he was starting to have like palpitations. His palms were sweaty. And then he said, wait a minute, I need to do my love before fear. So then he switched his dialogue that was like, am I going to be good enough? Are people going to like me? What are people going to say about me? And he switched it to, you know what? I'm a valuable asset to this college community. I, you know, have my own talents and my own values that I can bring to these people. And that's what I'm going to do. Instead of being fearful of their judgments, I'm going to come in with an open mind and I'm going to realize that I am an important person and I don't need to fear the judgment of others. So that really helped him. And he said, I've never done that before. And it literally changed my whole state and my anxiety just dissolved because I changed my fear dialogue into a love one. So that was really cool.
That makes a lot of sense. That's great. And what do they do when they're doing the writing? Like, what are some things that they would end up writing to be able to dissolve their anxiety?
Well, you know, when you write, you can kind of talk to yourself and you can make sense of why you're feeling anxious. So you can really, I say, start a journal entry, just write why I'm feeling anxious. And then write all the stuff underneath why you feel anxious. And then see what you can do to change that. So say you're feeling anxious because you think you're not going to get into school, or your boyfriend's going to cheat on you, or something like that. You know, like a general anxiety. Let's talk about just like little things. You can be like, yeah, my boyfriend could cheat on me, but at the same time, I don't have to worry about this because that's future tripping. And if I future trip, I'm just giving myself anticipatory anxiety, and that doesn't help my condition at all. You really, like with free write, you just kind of talk to yourself and you make conclusions of why you're feeling anxious, how you can change it, et cetera, if that makes sense. And on the community. In our blog post we post every Wednesday, and we give free write words so people can just start their free writes if they have no idea. We give like a word like, say, misery or freedom or anxiety or suffering, and you build on that word and then you just see what comes out for you. And you just build on it and you make conclusions. I feel like people just feel much better after doing a free write because they just get to know themselves and they hear their own thoughts and their own opinions rather than everybody else's, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they say like the best therapy, the best thought leaders are not people who give you the answers, but people who basically ask you the right questions so you can come to the answers for yourself so that you actually believe them.
I love that, yeah.
Yeah, so that exercise is just brilliant. I absolutely love it. Did you create this community yourself?
Yeah, I did.
That's amazing because you're pretty young to be able
to. I'm 19, yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're 19 and you're helping so many people. That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt a calling to do it and I decided. I'm a very like impulsive person, so if I decide to do something, I'm like, I'm doing it and this is how I'm doing it and it's probably going to be done today, so just wait.
I love it. So when did you create the community?
It launched on, I'm pretty sure it was the last Friday of May, so it launched on May 30th. So it's only been a month.
And you already have all those people? How did you find them all?
It's through Facebook and then my own Twitter and then my friends. They just like linked my website or linked this and that. And eventually people just started talking to me and it actually happened really quickly. I didn't think it was going to happen. You know, I thought maybe like one or two people would message me being like, oh, this is a cool site. But no, I got like really good feedback on it. And I got to know a lot of people through in just one short month. So I'm thinking, you know, we could definitely take this to different levels eventually.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many people that deal with anxiety. And that's why I was looking for experts in it. I mean, it's just something that's so prevalent. I mean, just the tips and things that you're giving, I think, just makes so much sense. And already that person said he felt freer and happier than he had been in a really long time. That's just wonderful.
I think it's well received in a sense because people need the help because there's no resources like this. I think that's probably the main reason people want to even read the blogs.
Yeah. Totally. That makes sense. I'm curious, you've been saying sometimes like in the present tense, like I have a hard time sleeping or I deal with this, I deal with that. So do you feel like anxiety is still like, it's not something you're necessarily like leaves, like for you, is it something that's still there, but you just relate to it differently?
That's actually a really good question. A lot of people ask me, how did you recover from anxiety? And I say, you know, recovery is not a one-time choice. It's also not a part-time job. It's strictly for people who are determined. I think it's for people who think that they can do anything they set their minds to, because you can't heal yourself by yourself from a mental disorder if you don't have crazy amounts of determination. But at the same time, I don't think that I'm ever going to be completely healed from anxiety disorder because it's a part of my genetics. It's a part of me in a sense. I don't want it to be who I am. I don't want it to define who I am, but in a sense, it's always going to be there, but I can manage it. So that's what I mean by healing anxiety permanently, because you learn how to manage it in a permanent way.
That makes sense. I have two questions from that then. First, you said if you have crazy amounts of determination, but I guess at this point, now that you've created a community, one of the big things that come up in my podcast is when I ask people, what are some of the things that really have helped them? They say having support is a really big deal. So I would imagine that you would need less determination if you have that support system.
You for sure need support, but at the same time, I'm a big believer and you need to save yourself. You can decide, oh, you know, I have all these safe people, like I have my mom who helps me, my brother, my friends, I have my boyfriend. You can say whoever like helps you, and that's great to have a support system because you need one. But at the end of the day, they cannot do the job for you. You have to do it yourself. So you're the one who needs to decide, I want to get myself out of this and I'm going to make it happen and this is how.
Do you still experience panic attacks every once in a while?
I can't remember the last time I had a panic attack. It was probably like 6 months ago. I don't have panic attacks on a daily basis. If I do experience anxiety, it's going to be more generalized or it's going to be related to my sleep phobia, which still comes up sometimes. No, I don't have panic attacks daily and it's awesome, honestly. It's great.
Yeah, I bet. People who are listening can identify anxiety for themselves. Does it occur a certain way in the body?
A lot of people ask me like, oh, I think I have anxiety. These are my symptoms. Can you help me? I always have to say I'm not a doctor, so I can't, you know, diagnose officially what you do have. But for me, anxiety is anytime a feeling of stress you can consider it panic attacks or generalized anxiety, whatever you want to consider it, anytime your anxiety prevents you from doing your day-to-day functions. So say you can't go to school anymore, or you can't go to work, or you're not doing your stuff on time, or you're not socializing anymore, anything that really interferes with your day-to-day life. I think that's when you could be looking at an anxiety disorder, and that's when I think you should go seek medical attention for it.
Got it. And what about just like everyday anxiety, like maybe anxiety over a date? Do you consider that anxiety?
I think I consider that more like nervousness. That's definitely something we all experience, and I consider that to be nervousness compared to anxiety.
That's an interesting distinction. And do you know off the top of your head, and I didn't, you know, ask you to prep for this, so maybe you don't, but how many people deal with anxiety?
I think, and I live in Canada, so I think the stats here is 1 in 4 teenagers do. That's 25% of teenagers in high school that live with a mental disorder, either diagnosed or undiagnosed.
Wow. And how does anxiety relate to depression?
Anxiety and depression can go hand in hand. I've definitely felt a little bit of depression here and there, but that's something I like to refer to as depression caused by anxiety, which obviously if you're feeling so much anxiety all the time and you think you're going to die, you eventually get depressed over it, obviously. I wouldn't say that I'm a complete expert in it because it's not something I've dealt with very closely, but depression and anxiety, I would say depression is more of like a sinking sadness, overwhelming feeling, compared to anxiety is more like kind of a feeling that makes you feel like you can never sit down or rest and stuff like that. Yeah, I wish I could explain that in a better way.
No, you definitely did a really great job. I definitely understand what you're saying. It totally is.
It's hard to describe anxiety and depression, like the difference between them both, but that's a good, that would be a good blog post, actually. I'll think about that.
Awesome. That sounds great. I'm curious also, if you can just let listeners know about like the mindset or the choice that you made to help shape where you are now. So I know that one of the things you said is choose love before fear, which is awesome. And are there other like beliefs or things that you told yourself to get to from where you were to where you are now?
I think that I just told myself that I was going to do it no matter what it took. I remember before I healed my panic attacks when I was going through the attacking stress and anxiety program, which I recommend to everyone if they don't have like a solution for themselves and their panic attacks. I told myself, if I heal my panic attacks and I don't have a panic attack every day, I will never be scared again in my life, because there's no need to be, because if I can heal panic attacks, I can do anything. And that's just the mindset that I took in to my healing process, really.
Wow. So you feel like that now? You feel like there's nothing you're scared of?
No, I think that I was definitely being a little bit cocky back then. No, I definitely get scared still, but it's not that fear is absent from my life. It's not. I have a very like loud ego. My ego is always talking to me, and I always have to work very hard on drowning him, or my ego, you could call it an it, I guess, with my love thoughts. It's not that fear is absent from my life. It's just that my love is stronger than my fear. That's basically all it is.
For people listening, do you have any examples of through something about work? I'm just like curious about just some more specific examples and then exercises to work through for each one.
Yeah, for sure. So say you're getting panic attacks at work. Is that basically what kind of scenario?
Yeah, it could be panic attacks or maybe just anxiety. And like I imagine that a bunch of people listening don't necessarily get full-blown panic attacks. But
yeah, for sure.
Are there any circumstances that come up maybe in the community or just through people that you have met through this work?
I think definitely when you're in a work setting, you feel guilty if you have any type of mental health problem, because you're scared, one, that people are going to judge you and think that, oh, she's just overreacting. You know, I come to work and I'm stressed too, blah, blah, blah. But people need to realize that stress and anxiety is two different things. Anxiety is a mental disorder compared to stress is manageable emotion. So I think that a lot of people who go to work, they feel guilty because they don't want to be like, oh, I don't feel well, I want to go home, because they don't really know what to tell their boss or their superior, because they don't want to be honest about what's going on with them. Or they're guilty if they have to take, you know, a leave off work to go heal themselves. I think the main thing that I suggest is to treat mental illness or mental disorders as you would treat any other illness. So say, I told this to a girl the other day. I said, if you had cancer, would you feel bad that you need to take a leave of absence just for a few months to go heal yourself? And she replied, of course not. Like, if I had cancer, I have cancer, right? And even though cancer and mental illness are two different things, they still affect your life in a very severe way. So you shouldn't feel guilty if you need to take a leave of absence off work, or you need to tell your boss, I need to go home, or, you know, anything like that, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm curious, do you know people that have talked to their bosses and what the results were?
I think it definitely depends about the reactions that bosses or superiors have at work. I think as a society, we could probably work towards like a better place for this. I think that still we're in a place where mental illness is not considered an illness yet. I think people are a little bit judgmental, or it's not an illness that affects you physically, so you can't see how much the person is suffering. So I think a lot of people aren't as accepting of that, and they're not, you know, prone to be like, sure, you go and heal yourself and you come back and we'll support you and we'll wear like Team Emily t-shirts. You know what I mean?
So then if someone is worried about talking to their boss, and I guess they have justifiable reason, but you're saying to basically just hold strong because you know what's going on for you.
I do. But at the same time, I do believe in, if people are judging you, they're not the people you should be worried about. Honestly, that's my philosophy. It takes a while to get there. But if people are judging you or are not helping you, that's not the people you want to be around. That's not the people you want to work for. And I understand the money problem. I really do. I think your health is more important. So I think that you should really not feel guilty if you do need the time. And I don't feel that you should feel guilty for going up to your boss and saying, you know, I need this leave of absence, or I need like these special conditions or this and that, because I am ill and I'm having issues and I want to be the best employee that I can, but I can't right now because I'm suffering so badly.
So do you think that people need to take time off in order to really be able to manage their anxiety? And also, what things can they do in their spare time that would help them?
So I don't think that you need to fully like go off work or, you know, take a year off. But I do think that you do need to sacrifice some time to healing, because if you don't, I really do not think it's going to help you. And I think it's going to just make matters worse for you. So I think that you do need to take care of yourself in that sense. And then if the answer is no, which was if you don't need to take time off, you know, the best thing you can do is set 30 minutes before bedtime, I say, set 30 minutes for yourself before bedtime and do something that you like, and just get into that groove where you're just doing more and more stuff for yourself. And then maybe look into local therapists or go talk to your doctor about medication options, or just free write or watch a funny TV show or go for a walk. If you like biking, go biking. If you like hanging out with people that make you laugh, do that. Just do stuff that's for you. And then you're going to get into the groove where you don't feel as guilty for healing yourself and taking care of yourself.
That makes sense. I would imagine it also just calms down your nervous system when you're doing things that feel pleasurable to you. And then anxiety isn't as easy to come by.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I'm curious, like for you, outside of, I know that you've had major changes for yourself. How did people around you outside, I mean, you include your family, I know you touched on a little bit, friends, boyfriend, how did they respond to you as you were healing yourself and even beforehand?
Oh, you know what's weird? And that's a big part. A lot of people don't talk about their illness or their disorder for a while, and that, myself included. When I was suffering from my panic attacks, actually, I didn't tell anybody. You know, I came up with lies. I would puke at school. I was in high school at the time. I would puke in school because I was so nervous, or I would get a panic attack in class, and I'd be like, I would force myself to puke sometimes too, because I just couldn't bear to tell someone I'm having a panic attack or have anxiety disorder. I didn't want people to look at me differently or treat me differently. I surely didn't want people and my peers to think of me as insane. Like, I thought people were going to think, oh, she's mentally like challenged, you know what I mean? Or not even mentally challenged, but like mentally ill to the point where I can't be friends with them anymore, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I didn't tell anybody until I got diagnosed at 12, and I didn't start talking about it until I was probably 15, until I started getting kind of a hold on my panic attacks. So honestly, I didn't really tell anybody, and except my mom, and my dad knew too, but my mom was very much involved with me, so she kind of knew the whole thing. When I started talking about it, people didn't know what it was, and it kind of surprised me that they didn't know what it was or what anxiety was or what they thought depression was only for people who are more like in their 40s and they're having a midlife crisis. Like, that was the mentality of my friends. And it surprised me because it was so weird to me that no one ever taught us about mental health. I, you know, kind of became the spokesperson for what mental health actually was. In relationships, you asked about boyfriends and stuff. My relationships are definitely probably altered, I'd say, by my anxiety. I definitely need more space, or I need to regroup with my thoughts, or I need someone who's compassionate and understanding, who understands that sometimes I'm having a bad day with anxiety and stuff like that. So I think definitely I don't consider myself a normal teenager, and I never really have, or now a young adult, because I am different, but I find people who accept me for being different.
I like that you are very clear about what your needs are, and you just kind of convey that that's what you need. And so it doesn't